now for something completely different. Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's EE Journal podcast. I'm Amelia Dalton, and what if I told you you can have your FPGA cake and eat it too? What if you could modify your RTL post-production, have several variations of an algorithm on the same chip, and maybe even tune your circuits after fabrication? Well, you can. Let me bring in Johan Dupre from Menta. Maybe you've heard of their eFPGAs? If not, you're about to. Check it out.
My guest today is Johan Dupre from Menta. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia, for inviting me.
So, first off, what is Menta all about?
Menta is a privately held company. We are based in France. And what we do is that we are providing a new kind of hard IP for ASICs and SOC designs. As you know, the semiconductor industry is currently facing various number of challenges. Amongst those challenges is the ever increasing cost of doing a SOC design, therefore reducing the margins for our potential customers. That's the area where we are playing in. For example, it's also an issue for ever segmenting markets. Everybody's talking about the Internet of Things right now. Actually, to us, there is not one market, but it's actually a lot of small markets. And it's also difficult to have one chip for each of these markets for our customers. So this is one of the reasons why we have actually providing some embedded FPGA IPs.
So let's talk about that in particular. Tell my audience more about these eFPGAs. Now, that's a term that I've heard about, but maybe they haven't.
eFPGA, actually, the E stands for embedded. So that's quite pretty clear. That's an FPGA that can be embedded inside a SOC or an ASIC. So we provide hard IPs for this, and our customers just place them like any other IPs inside their system. And we are actually providing the IP the same way that one customer would buy an ARM CPU. So this is license cost, royalties, and then you get it done.
So tell me what really embedding FPGA fabric as an IP core buys me as an engineer.
There are several reasons actually to embed an FPGA inside a SOC for you as an engineer. The most obvious one is to be able to modify your RTL post-production. It can be to implement several variants of an algorithm on the same chip to address, for example, several customers or markets or to enhance security with applications like this. It can also be to be able to tune circuits after fabrications. So, for example, the circuits that are often difficult to design right first time, like FIR filters or IR filters. In essence, an eFPGA for you as an engineer is just buying you some flexibility inside your SOC.
So, Johan, what kind of applications are we talking about with your eFPGAs and what nodes are you currently supporting?
Let's first start to talk about the applications. eFPGA IPs are actually quite generic. Any RTL code which is benefiting from parallel computation can be implemented on an FPGA as long as a certain amount of flexibility is required. So the number of applications is actually really countless. Let me try to name a few of them. We see traction for digital radio filters, whether those radios are for IoT or for industrial markets. We also see some applications in picture and sound processing, and we see particular traction in this for automotive or for space industries. We also can consider FPGA as a secure element because as the FPGA is embedded directly inside the SOC, there is nothing going outside and it's really difficult to reverse engineer. Also, it can help to address different regulations across countries. You can have different algorithms. For example, an AES algorithm for cryptography can be different in Germany than it would be in the US, for example. So you can have only one chip and just do post-fabrication implementation of the algorithm. And another application which was quite interesting is simply to use the FPGA as a coprocessor for massively parallel HPC applications. That's it for the application. For the process nodes, we have actually several kind of offers in Menta. One of them is that we offer some ready-to-use IP families. And for this, we have IP families in two process nodes. Historically, we were supporting TSMC 28 HPM. And starting from now, from this DAC, we are supporting now GlobalFoundries 14 LPP. We are also able to support, we have already what we call techno plugins for STM28 FDSOI. So basically, we can support FinFETs, we can support Planar CMOS, we can support SOI, because our technology can be ported to any process node in a few months. So we are really based on customer requirements. And if we have a customer requiring a specific node, we just discuss and we do it.
Very cool. So let's talk tools. What kind of tools do you have to support your eFPGAs?
So we have actually two tools. The first thing is that Manta is existing since 2007. We are really hitting the market since 2 years. But the tools we are developing them since more than 7 years. So they are really robust, really easy to use, and they are particularly acclaimed by our prospects and customers. The first tool we have is Origami Programmer. So this would be the tool closest to what we have in classic FPGA flow. So it is used to map the designer RTL to the FPGA and to generate the bitstream configuration file. So it supports the full flow. We are going mapping place and route, but also synthesis. We have a partnership with Verific and we do the synthesis inside the tool. And we support SDC constraints. And of course, we have a very nice graphical user interface. Therefore, it's quite really easy to use. There is no need for scripting, nothing like this. Then we have another tool, which is quite unique, because I talked before about the IP family that we have. But one thing that we can do is that we can really tailor the eFPGA IP to the requirements of the customer. So we can decide whatever blocks are inside, if he wants the number of kilobits of memory he wants to use, the number of logic blocks, number and type of DSP. We can embed customer blocks and all this stuff. Of course, that would be very complicated for someone who is not familiar with the FPGA world to just decide on whatever architecture they want. So for this, we have a tool, which we call Origami Designer. We provide this tool. With Origami Designer, our customers and designers just input their RTL codes inside the tool, and automatically the tool will find the best eFPGA architecture. It will provide, of course, the timing and power analysis associated to this and the area. Once a customer is happy with the architecture, he can, of course, fine-tune it. He just send it to us, and then we do the hard IP implementation. We have a team of very experienced guys in Sophia Antipolis, France, coming from top 10 semiconductor companies.
Okay, Johan, your off-the-cuff question is, you have one meal left in the rest of your life. This is your final meal. What would it be?
Oh, that's a quite good question. I would think that would be something based on roasted duck, Chinese style, maybe. Even if coming from France, I quite like a lot the Chinese cooking.
Nice. I don't think I've yet had that answer. Awesome. Well, Johan, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia. It was a pleasure.
Speaking of Moore's Law, aren't we always talking about Moore's Law? Yeah, maybe we are. Let me introduce you to a startup from France called Intento. They're working on fixing the Moore's Law bottleneck, specifically in the analog IP acceleration arena.
My guest today is Rami Iskander from Intento. Thank you so much for joining me, Rami.
Thank you.
So first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Intento all about?
It's a European company that was founded in March 2015. And it's all about accelerating the design and migration of analog intellectual properties.
So what do you see are the biggest challenges for analog and mixed signal design, especially when it comes to tools?
Today, the tools that exist today date from 1980. So they're not that much done in analog when it comes to simulators. So I think that it's a real bottleneck that we find in Moore's Law when there is a big difference between the productivity of the designer and in the same time what the technology can bring. So I think a big part of this comes from the deficiency in the existing tools today. So what we are proposing is a new set of tools that will try to accelerate the designer to do all the tedious work for the designer in the direction that the designer would like to have, not impose to the designer the way to compute circuits and to size them and to bias them.
So tell me more about the Intento accelerated design flow. What does that buy me as an engineer?
The name Intento comes from intentions. So the tool accepts the electrical intentions from the designer, and based on the schematic he would like to use, we combine both and we extract intelligently the model, the knowledge of the circuit, and we use it to quickly size and buy the circuit. So we pass from hours and days to minutes and seconds because we introduce knowledge inside the acceleration phase.
And another side of this, you guys also have the accelerated migration flow. So what is that all about?
The migration means that we are porting a circuit from a source technology with an old technology node to a new technology node. So we found out that we can use the same technology as use it for sizing and biasing. We can use it also for technology migration. And this means that the model we create, we found out that it's independent of the technology. So we can use the same knowledge and map it into different design kits on different technology nodes, actually.
All right, Rami, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you enjoy walking a lot. It has meditative qualities. What got you into this, and what kind of music do you listen to when you're walking?
I listen to all kinds of music, especially music with words, with clear words. So,
do you listen to podcasts when you're walking?
Yes.
I would recommend Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry if you're if you're interested. All right, well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Rami.
Thank you very much.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I should attend, or maybe the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 8th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.